10 times in the Torah. 10 times. 10 times in the Torah. In the Ketav of the Torah itself, you will find Nikud. You will find, if you will, punctuation. Dots that are found on top of words. And if you find one of these 10 times, presumably there is significance to that. Rashi in the Aliyah, quoting both the Gemara in Bechorot on Daf Dalet, as well as the Midrash Rabbah here in the Parsha. So Rashi says the following. Well, I should first quote the Pasuk, right? Kol pikudei halevi'im, the last pasuk of the Aliyah. Kol pikudei halevi'im, asher pakad Moshe v'Aharon, al pi Hashem l'mishpechotam. So the entire counting of the levi'im that Moshe and Aharon took, that census, based on their families, which had been the content of the Aliyah until now. Kol zachar mi ben chodesh v'mala, every male from 1 month old and above, shnayim ve'esrim aleph, 22,000. Which word has the dots? V'aharon. In some misorot, it's only the vav of v'aharon. In other misorot, and if you'd open up our Sifrei Torah, you'll see that the dots are on each of the letters. And the question is, why? What is the significance of these dots? Now you have to understand, when there are dots, basically, and if you want a full list of the 10, you can take a look in the Midrash Rabbah, here in this week's Parsha, on this Pasuk, and it gives all 10 of them, and it gives explanations for it. But the idea of the dots is that there's something that's hidden from in the text. I take a look and I say, oh, it's Moshe and Aharon who are running the census. In reality, there's something which is a little bit different. And here, what is different? Nakod Rashi says, Alva Aharon, Lomar Shelo Haya B'Minyan Halevi'im. This tells us, and here there are two ways of understanding this Rashi, but we'll focus on what seems to be, is that Aaron was not one of the 22,000. Aaron, of course, is a Ben Levi. Aaron not only is a Ben Levi, Aaron is considered to be the Nasi of Shevet Levi. And yet, really there are 22,001. The 22,000 doesn't include Aharon. As opposed, for example, to every other Nasi of every other Shevet. So he's included in the count. Presumably, Moshe himself is included in the count of the 22,000. Aharon, though, is not. Interesting. Or not. Who cares? Like, why couldn't it be 22,001? And if it is so important that Aaron not be counted, why isn't the Torah telling us that Aaron isn't counted? What is the significance of the fact that Aaron is not part of it? So here, I'd like to take it into two different possibilities, which may be related. On one level, it's that Aharon is, of course, not merely a Levi, all due respect to the Leviim in the room, not just a Levi. And he's not even just the Nasi of the Leviim. He is, of course, first and foremost, Aharon HaKohen. And being Aharon HaKohen, so the fact is that, yes, genetically he is a Levi, and yes, there are elements of his role that are Levite in them. For example, a Kohen can eat Ma'aser. You can give a Kohen Ma'aser, the Gemara says. But nevertheless, his primary function is one of a Kohen, and he stands apart. So he's there, he's the shevet, the head of the Shevet, and at the same time, there's a slight move away from that. Which basically, if you were to ask, then what is the message that the Torah is trying to tell us? Perhaps that the Torah, and if I had more time, we could show different examples of this halakha, that there's a division of powers, and that the Torah is sensitive, and the halakha is sensitive, and that the Levi cannot take the role of the Kohen, and the Kohen should also, generally speaking, not take the role of the Levi. I'm still not convinced. I still don't understand why it's so important for this to be, if you will, written in code, but there are dots on the word. And you can understand, perhaps, what's going on here, not merely in terms of, in general, what a Levi and a Kohen do or don't do, but here specifically in the context of the Parsha. Because in Shishi, we're going to find that there were the count of the Bechorot, of the firstborn. And their count is almost identical to the count of the Leviim. And each Levi stood in place of one of the Bechorim. And each Levi took that role, and the remainder had to go through the pidyon that we're familiar with to this day. Excuse me. Aharon could not stand as one of the Leviim, who is supposed to be in place of a Bechor. Because Aharon, in a way, was responsible for the downfall of the Bechorim. Aharon was there at the time of the Egel. Aharon was pivotal at the time of the Egel. Aharon perhaps could have stopped the Egel from having been made in the first place. The reason why Leviim took the place of the Bechorot is because there was an Egel. And because the Bechorim worshipped that Egel and the Leviim did not. And Aharon, as the Levi, also did not. He didn't bear direct responsibility, but his actions allowed for that to occur. And here the Torah, in effect, is saying that Aharon has to take a step back. Aharon has to have a little humility. Aharon is there at the count. You're a Kohen, Aharon, that's true. But you're also a Levi who, in this case, isn't totally innocent. You're a Levi who bears responsibility for what's going on. Too often, we shirk responsibilities. Too often, especially if those responsibilities are not direct, that there's a smoking gun, as it were, that you can point the finger to, that you're able somehow to get off the hook, and you walk away and you're scot-free. You're not. You can go on and you can continue and you have to continue. And Aharon indeed becomes the Kohen, and Aharon even becomes the Nasi of Shevet Levi. But still, recognize that the shift that's occurred, the people who've lost their special status, perhaps you could have prevented that. And for you to be one of the Leviim who stands in for them, that leaves a little bit of a bad taste. The Torah doesn't want to make this necessarily explicit, perhaps for the kvod of Aharon. Or perhaps to say that taking responsibility for our actions also isn't always something that you have to broadcast in front of the entire world. Sometimes it's something which is subtle. Sometimes it's something which is just needs to be done. And you and the Ribbono Shel Olam are the only ones who know it. Take a look at Dats, Rabotai. Take a look at the subtleties. Take a look to see where your responsibilities lie for your actions, where our responsibilities lie for everything that we do. Have a wonderful day.